Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Almost. Let's talk to Stefan, who is in Atlanta. Stefan, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, I just wanted to not really comment on everything, but I'm an Army Ranger. We are Army, and we listen to your show. And thank you for keeping us just in thought and just us being able to just listen to your show and you have something outside of this war.
Where were you, sir, when you were deployed?
Afghanistan.
And you listened to the show there?
Yeah, I mean, because we had the portable radio, and the only thing we could listen to was this station.
Well, I'm glad that we could offer you a piece of home and that we could keep you company.
That's pretty much what we had to listen to. I mean, it's better than nothing, but I mean...
Yes, it is.
What we had.
I appreciate that resounding support, Stefan. And you now that you're home and you don't have to listen, I hope you'll still continue to turn in.
Oh, no, I still listen to it.
Okay, good.
See, the guys were just like, oh, woman don't know nothing about no sports.
Like, yeah, she does.
Like, listen to it. She does.
She does. No. Thank you for your years of service, Stefan. That means a lot to me personally. I appreciate it.
No, it's not a problem.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home. Country roads.
It is always an honor to hear from either veterans or actually active military who are serving overseas. I've been able to connect with a few who've told me that our show is a piece of home. And yeah, that means the world to me. I would never, ever tell you the show is important or the job I do is important. But whatever connection or entertainment, whatever distraction, whatever opportunity we have to connect with people who need some type of relief or just that, yeah, that ability over the miles and over time to find something that's normal or familiar or typical. Well, I'm all about that. I remember there was one particular weekend, I believe it was the police shooting in Dallas. This is going back now a few years. And I was feeling so heavy. And there are certainly times when that is the case in this world that we live in. And I didn't really understand the idea of sports as an escape because it's work for me. So it's not where I go to find some relief or to get away from reality or just to, you know, look for entertainment or a reason to cheer or a reason to smile. Sports used to be that for me, but now that it's work, it doesn't really serve that role. And then on that Friday night, after what was a tough week in the news, not so much in sports, but a tough week in the news, and I was feeling heavy, and I had already secured a press pass to go to a Mets game. I don't remember who they were playing. Maybe it was Mets and Dodgers. And I didn't really want to go, but I dragged my rear end to Queens and attended the game And as I was there with the massive humanity, hearing them cheer, this mindless pursuit of baseball and trying to put more runs on the board than the team in the other dugout. It's dawned on me. It did that night and it has dawned on me since. There is certainly a role for sports when it comes to healing, when it comes to distraction, when it comes to relief and entertainment. Just the chance to put aside what can be a heavy weight, even if it's for a short time, and connect with other people who are laughing, cheering, maybe even booing. I understood it that night because it gave me a lift. Important, no, but maybe at times offers exactly what you need. That to me is a priceless role, and I'm thankful for it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. Now, I did put the poll up on Twix. Let's see if I can figure out a poll on Facebook. I don't know if I can. Your votes are already pouring in, but you got to check it out because it's an actual poll, not just a question. You got to bet on one of them. Who wins a 100-meter race between these two? Noah Lyles, Tyreek Hill. And it's Monopoly money, so no lectures about how you don't bet your money.
World champion of what?
Noah Lyles earned the title of fastest man in the world. Tyreek Hill, he is one of the fastest in the NFL, if not the fastest. Now consider, he's not old, I'm not telling you that, but he's got some miles on his body as well. I think the whole thing is hysterical because Tyreek never misses the opportunity to trash talk, ever. He always has to put himself in the conversation. And so now, I don't have any idea if Noah Lyles has heard the name Tyreek Hill before. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But the two of them have these big, bold personalities. They believe that their personalities and their trash talking, being vocal, that spirit, that kind of extra, that attracts attention to their sports. And, of course, is good for them and their publicity as well. So they maybe are cut from the same cloth. I don't know. Tyreek Hill, depending on how long he had to train, coming out of the starting gate, everything that goes with the running. Noah is a great closer. He's a great closer. And we just saw him win the 100-meter dash against the best in the world. So does that mean Tyreek Hill could beat all of them as well?
Do what you wish with this information, but according to the always trusty Wikipedia page of Tyreek Hill.
Oh, no.
His medal records include World Junior Championships, gold in 2012 Barcelona 4x100. Relay, and in the same games, a bronze medal in the 200 meters.
2012,
that's right.
Right, okay, so we're talking about 12 years ago.
That's right, he's 30 years old, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and not saying that he's over the hill, old, not saying he can't run, not saying he isn't fast, but that was a long time ago. And now here he is, claiming that he can beat the guy who has been training and peaking at just the right time, and then claimed a bronze in a race in which he was feeling under the weather and then tested positive for COVID. Well, it tested positive before the race. I don't know. That's some pretty extensive trash talking. Maybe a little bit overconfident against. Right. We're not talking about a guy who just went out there and ran on his own. We're talking about he rallied past, he closed, reeled them in and passed them. The fastest men in the world. They were just randomly eight guys who were picked from around the globe. These guys had to qualify at every level and then had to win their heats, win or finish second place in their heats, plus the semifinals just to get to the final. They had to run multiple times just to get to the final.
So what I'm hearing is if you were to vote on that poll, you'd vote for Noah Lyles.
Oh, I absolutely vote. I didn't vote yet, but I will vote for Noah Lyles. It's not just, hey, who's the fastest in a vacuum? Or who ran the fastest at his peak? Though I would assume that this is Noah's peak. But just because Tyreek Hill did it before doesn't mean he can do it now at 30 years old against a guy who has been training for this exact purpose.
Well, yeah, but you don't think that it's worth anything to Tyreek Hill that he's still among the fastest people in the NFL and he's out there running with a couple extra pounds off of, on pads and whatnot?
I think it's worth lining them up and having them do it, yes. But it's just like saying, oh, hey, I could go out and do what Tyreek Hill does. I'm fast. I can put on pads. I can haul in a ball that's thrown to me. No, there's skill involved. If it was easy, every freaking man on the planet would be doing it. It's not easy. What Tyreek does takes incredible skill and training and practice. What Noah does takes the same exact thing. And it cracks me up that people think, oh, no big deal. He just starts running. He just happens to be fast. Anybody else can do that too. What?
You're not going to take into consideration the 10.1900 meters that he ran back in 2012?
First of all, that's still not as fast as what Noah just ran. And again, that was 2012. It's different when you get older. No, I'm not saying he isn't fast, but I'm saying to act like you could just stand on a starting block and all of a sudden beat the guy who just topped the best in the world. The best in the world. This is not U.S. championships. This is the Olympics. These guys train for years to get to this point. And to think he could just get into a starting block and all of a sudden be faster?
How much different is the starting blocks for 100 meters compared to the 40-yard dash?
When you're talking about a race that takes 10 seconds, every little nanosecond counts. Do you know how much they practice coming out of the starting blocks? A poor start can doom your race.
Well, yeah, I understand, but I'm also saying, like, I don't think Tyreek Hill is just, you know, ran the 40 to get drafted and hasn't ran a 40 since. He's probably training as well to run the fastest 40 he could possibly run as well. And with him having his track and field background with him, I wouldn't deny that he's using that as an advantage to try to become among the fastest players in the National Football League.
I highly doubt he's still, he may be running for training. And they may be doing wind sprints and all that jazz. But, yeah, I mean, again, you're talking about a guy in Tyreek Hill who pays attention to diet, training, exercise, everything he can to be good at what he does. It's not just speed, right? There's more to it. There's lateral. There's taking contact. There's all this stuff. Same thing with Noah Lyles. Everything that goes into it, the training, the nutrition, talk about wind conditions, blah, 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 everything that goes into it. Again, if it was just about coming out of a block and being super friggin' fast, well, then it wouldn't take all these years to train, would it? If it's just about being fast, then why bother training? Who cares? Just run every now and then. If that's all it is, it's a skill. Coming out of the starting blocks and maintaining that speed over 100 meters, it's a skill. And as much as I would be the first to tell you that Tyreek Hill is a speedster and his speed is an incredible weapon, it's not the same as just lining up. It's not the same as lining up, coming out of a starting block and maintaining that over 100 meters.
I think the real conversation should be Tyreek Hill against Xavier Worthy. Yeah, so? Now I'm trolling.
So let's see. The fastest 100 meters for Noah, his personal best was at these Paris Olympics, 9.784 seconds. That's his personal best. And so we'll see whether or not this ever comes to fruition. But it's not like he just starts running.
So I Googled Tyreek Hill track personal best, And the first thing that pops up in big bold letters is his personal best in the 100 meters was 10.19 seconds, like I said. And then it follows that up by saying it is unlikely that Hill is faster at 30 than he was at 18.
Right. So Noah Lyles was not even a quarter second off the world record pace set by Usain Bolt. I suppose the next thing that Tyreek Hill is going to say is that he could beat Usain Bolt.
I believe him.
In the 100 meters.
Mike McDaniel probably also believes in him.
This is not a question of whether or not he's fast. It's a question of whether or not he's the fastest man in the world. And that title currently belongs to Noah Lyles.
I think Mike McDaniel should be in that conversation too, the way that he jets away from the cameramen at the end of his halftime interviews.
Mm-hmm. You're deflecting. Deflect as much as you want. The poll is up on my Twix, A-Law Radio. You gotta bet on one. Who wins a 100-meter race between Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill? I make a pretty convincing case. This is not about who's slow. It's about who can cross the finish line. All right, now we'll do my best to try to put the poll up on Facebook as well, though I'm not great at that, after hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking loosely about the Olympics, some of you, in responding to my question of favorite Olympic moments, actually said your favorite Olympic moment was Rachel Gunn, affectionately dubbed Ray Gunn, the Australian breaker. To me, that sounds like a wave. The Australian break dancer who earned the nice round score of 0.
World champion of what?
I know that this was the debut of breaking in the Olympics, but this does not make a case for keeping it around. And apparently there's already been some resistance and some type of an appeal filed to put the kibosh on breaking at the Olympics. No joke. It's already happening. In LA, they don't want it. Someone doesn't want it to be an Olympic sport.
Hold on. They don't want breakdancing to be an Olympic sport in the United States? Let's keep it for 2028. Right. We'll regroup in 2032.
So her name is Rachel Gunn.
Yeah.
Ray Gunn. And she had some unique, atypical dance moves. And the memes, the reaction on social, that was viral. She earned 0 points against her opponents. 0. Would you like to know more about her? She has a doctorate in cultural studies. She is a PhD. I don't know if you could call her a professional dancer, but I've seen some of the other photos of her in breaking poses. Yeah, she's upside down. She's on her head. I mean, she looks legit. Now, these were in portraits, not necessarily in videos. But it was her husband who introduced her to breakdancing. Do you know People Magazine did a profile on Ray Gunn? That's how intriguing she is now. So yes, she was first introduced to her sport through her husband, who's also a breakdancer, and she was a jazz and ballroom dancer before she turned pro in breaking.
Turned pro.
I mean, you should see some of the photos of her. But she did come in last place in the Olympics, despite being one of the first 16 women to compete in the Olympic Games in the sport.
Now, there's something. Ray.
Something to be said for that. Better to be 16th than to not compete at all. I would think it's better to represent your country of Australia and to proudly wear the colors and to be on that stage, even if it went so horribly wrong. Mm. The judge has actually spoken out about it, believe it or not. Did you hear this?
No, please do tell. Yeah.
So the judge who was part of giving her, I guess the head judge, who was part of giving her the 0.
How do you judge this, though? Off of vibes and aura, though?
No. I don't. Could you call them professionals? There are professional break dancing leagues. Right, she had to come up through the ranks somehow, didn't she? So the judge is defending the routine, even though it scored 0 points. Some of the photos, the still photos of her, mm-hmm. her performance, they're meme worthy to be. Now she is 36, so a little bit older than some of the others, but the judge is speaking out and saying that she did have originality. She did bring something new to the table.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. These are quotes from the judge. She got inspired by her surroundings, which in this case, for example, was a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Apparently this was a news conference. I wonder if we can find the audio somewhere. That might be terrific. He goes on to say the breaking and hip-hop communities definitely stand behind her. But we have 5 criteria in the competitive system. And, quote, just her level was maybe not as high as the other competitors.
Maybe.
But that's a zero, not maybe not as high. She says, what I bring is creativity. I was never going to beat these girls on what they do best, their power moves. Yeah, so breaking is not going to be featured at the LA Olympics.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, interesting. All right, take our poll. Noah versus Tyreek Hill. I've made my compelling argument. You got to bet on one.
World champion of what?
Also, if you've got Ray Gun memes, I'd love to see them. Not that they're going to be as good as her performance.
My favorite move was the kangaroo, not going to lie.
It's unforgettable. Like, as in unforgettable.
I can understand why she labeled it kangaroo as well.
I can't unsee it.
Neither can I. And
online at A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page, too. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Tuesday, August 13th. Ouch. I'm Amy Lawrence, and coming up, Jordan Chiles. Does she get to keep the medal? Does she have to give it back? With all of the fallout from the appeal, and then the appeal to the appeal, and then the ruling of the appeal about the appeal. Oh, dear. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I think it's so unfair. It's so cruel. And I don't think that Jordan should have to give her medal back. The IOC has given more than one medal before, and I think that they should do that now. It's awful.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of decorated U.S. Olympian gymnast Allie Raisman on the Today Show. And she's just one of the former gymnasts, current gymnasts, weighing in on the situation with Jordan Chiles. And by the way, if you hadn't heard or seen, Jordan is taking a break from social media in order to protect and preserve her mental health. And I can only imagine what it would be like for her if she was on social media right now. USA Gymnastics is not giving up this fight. But according to that governing body, right now an arbitration panel will not reconsider this decision by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. I feel like it's hard to tell this story unless I start at the beginning, but then I want to give you the headline, the lead first, because you're not supposed to bury the lead. That's a journalism 101 tool. Okay, so in other words, USA Gymnastics is going to appeal, but right now, the Court of Arbitration for Sport is not going to reverse its decision because, according to USA Gymnastics, appeals are not allowed. Once the decision is final from the CAS, this Court of Arbitration for Sport, even if new evidence is introduced, they cannot consider it, they cannot reconsider it, they cannot re-rule. So according to USA Gymnastics, even though they have evidence, now this is according to them, I've not seen it, but even though they have evidence that the appeal in Paris was filed within the time limit, The Court of Arbitration won't consider this new evidence, and the decision to strip Jordan Chiles of her bronze medal and give it to the Romanian gymnast, that I guess is final. Unless somehow it gets overturned in a court of law. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we talked about this when it happened. Jordan's coaches filed an appeal asking for a higher start value based on an element that they felt like she didn't get enough credit for. And they believe that they had filed the appeal in time. This boosted, when the appeal was granted, it boosted Jordan's score by a tenth of a point, enough to catapult her into third place to win the bronze medal on floor exercise. But later, and this is how it goes back and forth, the Court of Arbitration for Sport went and revisited all the evidence that it had available, theoretically, and determined that the appeal was too late. Again, this is in Paris. The appeal filed, the inquiry filed by Jordan's coaches, that it was too late, that it was 4 seconds too late. And so it was outside the window allowed by the rules. And thus, even if the results were wrong, because the inquiry was filed too late, the Romanian gymnast gets that bronze medal instead. Which to me is, yeah, it's a rule that shouldn't exist. You should be using every piece of evidence available. Video, eyewitness, clocks, timing, everything. Whether it's a TV broadcast, whether it's a stopwatch, I don't care what it is. All available evidence should be considered. And if the Court of Arbitration for Sport did not have all the evidence when it made the ruling, that's on them. If there's more evidence, it should be considered. There are some people that believe this could turn into a year or more in the court system, a legal battle that lasts for a year or more over these scores, but not so much over the score and really not over the inquiry, because the judges did amend Jordan's start value, which meant that she had the point, or the tenth of a point. She had the points that she needed to win the bronze. It doesn't appear as though this court is disputing that, only disputing whether or not the inquiry was filed in time. Which is, again, I feel like not the point. I understand there have to be rules, there have to be guidelines. We'll call it a statute of limitations, if you will. Happens to be a minute from the point at which the scores are first revealed. But if Jordan's coaches have video evidence that they filed the appeal within the time limit before that minute expired, then why wouldn't the CAS include that evidence as well? So here's the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, indicating that it will abide by this court's decision, even if it's wrong. And so it's up to USA Gymnastics now to pursue this. But the IOC is asking for Jordan's medal back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, the International Gymnastics Federation and the International Olympic Committee, they're, quote, reallocating the medal, standing by that decision and, quote, reallocating the medal. And I understand that when you have arbitrators or arbitration, it's supposed to be a final decision, and you do take a risk, right? This is why some people decline to do arbitration in, let's say, family court or those types of divorce proceedings, custody battles, these types of things. An arbitrator can be cheaper, can be quicker than a court battle, but sometimes It's arbitrary. And you feel like you're stuck with a decision that wasn't fair. In this case, though, I appreciate that there's a court of arbitration of sport and it does have jurisdiction, but all of the evidence should be considered. All of it. There have been a lot of online posts and an outpouring of support for Jordan, and replying to one of those on Twix, Jordan's mom, Gina, said she's not on socials right now, as you can imagine, but thank you. It means the world. Try to put yourself in her shoes. First, she thinks she comes up short. Then, based on a heads-up inquiry by her coaches, she finds out she's won the bronze medal, a dream come true, only to then celebrate. And when the Olympics are over, find out that the Court of Arbitration for Sport has decided that bronze medal doesn't belong to her. And what is the recourse? The recourse is legal route. So the fallout continues. And you've got two gymnasts hanging in the balance. A Romanian who's already suffered the heartbreak and now feels as though she won, but that might not actually stand. Talk about being in limbo. But it was the Romanian Gymnastics Federation that filed this complaint with the court and with the arbitrator. And so they're determined not to let it go. Sounds like USA Gymnastics is determined not to let it go either. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, there is quite the debate. People on both sides of it. For Noah Lyles, for Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I'm seeing it.
Here's one on Twix at A-Law Radio. From the blocks, it's Lyles, 100%. From a standing position, as if on a scrimmage line, Hill might have a shot. Another tweet. Tyreek Hill's personal best, 10.2 seconds in the 100 meters. Even if he could repeat it, that wouldn't have qualified him for the trials to compete for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Noah Lyles of 2024 would smoke Tyreek Hill of 2012. Never mind Tyreek at 30. All right. Here's another one from Rob. Could Noah Lyles be like Ronaldo Nehemiah, who was a track star and played 3 years in the NFL? Dude won a Super Bowl also. Well, maybe not, but that's not what Tyreek Hill is talking about. He's not saying, hey, I could beat Noah Lyles off the line of scrimmage, book 70 yards downfield and catch a ball after juking and losing my defender. That's not what we're talking about.
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Tyreek says he could beat him in a foot race.
World champion of what?
Here's another tweet. Sprinters don't run as often each year when they are not preparing for a race. Football players play every year, so you have to factor that in. No, no, I don't. Right now, Noah Lyles is in shape and just won this race in a personal best time that was under 10 seconds and not even a quarter second off the world record. I don't have to factor in that Tyreek Hill plays football every year. What does that have to do with it?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Right now, Noah Lyles is the fastest man on the planet. And I dare say he's got 2028 in his sights. They continue to train. Barring injuries, they continue to train. There are U.S. championships. There's world championships. They also have other meets that they attend, whether invitationals or pro meets. Yeah, it's not like they just get fat and happy for 2 years and then decide, oh, you know what? I guess I'll go back to running now. Why not? Here's another one from Dave in Hawaii. This is a joke. You're doing a bit, right? Are you asking if a non-Olympian would beat an Olympian? The guy that got last place would absolutely smoke Tyreek Hill in a 100-meter race. Oh, and here's another one from Christopher. Are you drunk? Okay. The things you say, it's so blonde. Usain Bolt is faster than Noah, and so is Tyreek Hill.
I will beat Noah Lyles.
So now Tyreek Hill and Usain Bolt belong in the same category.
World champion of what?
We just talked about Bolt. Bolt is not even a quarter second faster than Noah Lyles just ran. And I know Tyreek Hill ran track. And I'm not sure where Christopher's getting his info. He says he actually ran a 9.98 100 meters in college. Which, by the way, still isn't as fast as what Noah just ran at the Olympics. So I'm not sure your point. And no, I'm not drunk. We didn't see that number. We've seen personal best. I've Googled it. So is Manny. All right. Glad to have you with us. Online at A-Law Radio, you can take the poll. So far, Noah Lyles is winning this race as well. And on our Facebook page, maybe I'll put up a spot where you can weigh in. I got to go record my sports minute, so can we hit the pause button right there? Or you can continue to vote, and I'll be back. We will reconvene. I think this is fascinating. And also, could you imagine Noah's response to this? He's already trolling team sports guys in the U.S. Can you imagine his response to this? Please.
World champion of what?
Please, someone get his response to Tyreek claiming he could beat him in a foot race. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Punt is away. The crowd chanting Tyreek, Tyreek, as Hill takes it. The number one punt returner in the league. At the 25, puts his foot in the ground. 35, 40. Gets a block midfield. Cuts it back. 40, 30. Goodbye, Oakland. Tyreek Hill. 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. 77-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
He's got speed. No doubt Tyreek Hill could beat most anybody else in the NFL. Now, there's a bunch There's a bunch of incoming rookies. You never know. They get faster and faster. But it's not the same thing to run 40 meters as it is to run 100. That's the thing. If there were no skill involved, well, then there'd be a whole bunch of guys and gals who are doing what Sha'Carri Richardson and, gosh, Gabby Thomas in the 200 meters, and what Noah Lyles and the other fastest runners on the planet are doing. If it was that easy, you just stand there and wait until someone says, go, ready, set, go, like you're at field day in high school or something. No, it's not the same thing. Yes, Manny.
After further research, a 9.98 was ran by Tyreek Hill back in junior college. However, it's not technically, it doesn't stand for official purposes because it's technically
part of a relay.
A wind-aided time.
Oh, wind-aided
time. Wind-aided time of 9.98.
Gotcha. All right. I kind of feel like it's a little disrespectful to say, oh yeah, without any training, I could just go ahead and beat him in a foot race. I wouldn't beat him by a lot. At least he was modest enough to say that. Realistic enough to say that. I wouldn't beat him by a lot. And I dare say that Tyreek Hill believes that he could edge Noah Lyles in a foot race. No way.
So I just pulled up a Yahoo article from March of 2023. And this is the headline. It says, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill competes in first track meet since 2014. Quote, never racing again, close quote.
All right, I know that every year people make a big deal about the top 40 meter dashes at the combine. And while there have been guys that can run like the wind, they're not necessarily able to turn that into a career like what Tyreek Hill has had. So I'm with you that there is a ton of skill involved in running with pads and breaking the way that he does and losing defenders. I mean, he's brilliant at being a wide receiver in the NFL. And part of that is his speed. But it's not just running. It'd be funny if you could get a head start and maybe hit the start line. So you, I don't know, go back 40 yards. Like, okay, maybe not 40 yards. Go back 10 yards.
Like the CFL?
Get a head start and then hit the start line at full speed. That'd be one thing. But you have to build up to that speed. Fastest 40-yard dash times, by the way, and the meters versus yards. But the fastest 40-yard dash time at the NFL Combine, new record set this year by Xavier Worthy. And you'd mentioned that earlier. 4.21 seconds. John Ross, going back to 17, 4.22. There's a bunch of 2.3s, 2.4s. For the longest time, Chris Johnson's 4.24 stood as the fastest. Can we do the math? I need a formula to translate that into meters. I can't do it while I'm talking on the air, but I absolutely can do it. This is why my mother will be so proud of me when I tell her I did math. She's my math teacher in high school. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You all are cracking me up with a bunch of your reaction. And the fact that it's such a mindless type of question that we'll never really know the answer to, and yet it's incited great debate. It's one of my favorite things about working in sports radio. We can engage in these types of mindless debates.
But guess what?
Just for fun.
We'll never know.
We might. No, well, do you really think Noah Lyles would back down from a challenge? Someone in the NFL who doesn't run track for a living, after he just beat all the professional track guys who were the tops in their nations and then survived the heats in the semifinals at the Olympics. You really think Noah Lyles, who was better than all the rest, would back down from a challenge if Tyreek Hill asked him to run the 100 meters? Come on. No way. Noah he's engaging in this trash talk, and he's putting himself out there so that he can remain relevant. Remember, he talked about how hard he tried to get his name out there, worked with agents, endorsements, all that. It didn't work. What works is winning. And his stock has never been higher than it is right now. He wants to keep his name out there, a little bit like a Usain Bolt. He wants to be relevant in between Olympics. He wants to draw people to track and field and grow the sport, even when it's not an Olympic year. I dare say we'll hear about him again in 2028, or as he attempts to qualify for 2028. But by running against Tyreek Hill, do you know how he would catapult not just his name and his sport into the stratosphere? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.